Hey everyone, we want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all over print button downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They of course have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
Fall asleep right now. Watch me. I fall asleep on this podcast. Watch me.
Can't believe it.
Dare me.
What's cool is if we are going to actually like lay down and go to sleep.
Let's film it.
We have to finish this. Get all this shit out of the way.
Yeah.
Get out of our clothes.
Yeah, I have to pull this
get
thing
in the pajamas,
out.
Like, where's brush our teeth. We're supposed to be on a shuttle at 8 a.m. Yeah.
Hey, guess what? Hello there, welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. I'm Adam Russell.
Hey guys, I'm Ryan Key.
Hey, this is not Anakin Skywalker from the Clone Wars flashback. It's also not Anakin Skywalker from Ahsoka's training video. It's Nick Ganbarian. How are you?
This is already going so great. It's Mike Forrester. Is this the first time we've all been... this is a first of many things.
Yes.
Since you became an official podcast host, yes, for sure. This is the first time we've been a four-piece.
Yeah.
The last time we were all a group in one place recording in a physical space was pre-Halcyon Star Cruiser, and here we are again.
Mm-hmm.
But
wow.
Now on the ship.
Can I just say?
Look at this.
You can say.
It's like poetry. It rhymes.
It rhymes. It hella rhymes.
Wow.
Where are we right now?
It Leanne rhymes.
We're on our way to Batuu.
We're in space on our way to Batuu. I think around 7 a.m. we'll be orbiting.
Right, which is about 3 hours from now.
Yeah, it's feeling rough physically.
Mind you, we're not young men.
So we're going to get lots of sleep.
We're not young.
Hey, let's...
I feel great.
Let's find out where we actually are in space right now on the screen. You can maybe see it a little bit, maybe not.
I'm riding high on friendship right now. Friendship is fuel.
And Nick is still complete. I mean, you guys are both completely, we're all pretty much still pretty much dressed.
I might sleep in this.
Yeah.
We're near the Adonax Nebula right now.
I knew it.
Yeah. Look how close we are.
I thought we were probably getting pretty close to the Adonax Nebula.
Yeah. I was thinking that
When we finished watching Ahsoka just now, all together with all of our friends in this tiny room, I thought we must be coming up on the Adonax Nebula.
We had more than double the amount of people that you see right now in this room watching Ahsoka.
Someone's kid fell asleep in my bed.
Let's also debunk when the Star Cruiser came out and people were like, you could probably only fit like 3 or 4 people in there. We just had
12
people
right?
in here.
Yeah, so Austin's asleep on the floor.
Yeah, Austin. Yeah. Austin Romero is also here.
Yeah.
You can probably see his hand.
Friend of the pod, as we say.
Almost dead.
A real sleepy guy. He's a real sleepy guy.
He's going to get a full hour more sleep than the rest of us.
Yes.
Because we'd like to welcome old Sleepy Rome from the WWE.
Because we have to break all this down and then whatever your get ready for bed ritual is, you have to do it.
These YouTube comments are going to be rich.
The Star Cruiser crew is like the accommodations are very, they're accommodating. They might come and break this down if we ask.
That's true.
They might.
Could you just wrap this up for us?
Call guest services.
See
what happens. I actually could sleep in a different room.
We could go sleep in the atrium.
We could.
Yeah, we could. We could do a lot of things. It's going to close, so we might even just... I might take a dump in the hallway. Who knows?
What we should do is talk about Ahsoka.
We should do that.
This episode is going great.
Okay, exactly what I thought was going to happen, which is great. Great television. Is this television?
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, kind of now.
Basically, we're a talk show. We're like The View
from
space. Sure. So I watched...
From the Adonax Nebula.
Exactly. as you sensed. So I watched the episode within 15 minutes of it actually coming out. I came back to the room and I watched it by myself on this laptop that's streaming to you right now. And then I rewatched it with everyone at, you know, 1 a.m. Eastern or whatever it was. I'm glad I did, because did anyone else see the motion smoothing, and did it bother anyone else?
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, it's not great.
On this TV?
On this TV here, yeah.
I couldn't be less concerned with the motion smoothing because of the volume and the audio.
So quiet, yeah.
Yeah.
I was so much more bothered by the audio that the motion smoothing can just
be whatever. The Chromecast loading symbol that wouldn't go away in the middle of the screen.
It's not away.
It's still there.
Yeah. Also, could I just say, I know I apologize to everyone, but everyone was so chatty that I actually yelled at everyone to shut up.
Yeah, he did. He did.
It was the first time.
But let me say this. Everyone's chatting. It's like, this is super important to us. Like, please stop talking. We're about ready to watch it. But our little hotel room is full of people. Let's be quiet. Then there's the loading thing. Then if you didn't have the subtitles on, you're not going to know what they're saying because you literally can't hear anything. Still, to this day, the best Star Wars viewing experience probably of my life.
Dude, there's something about, like, when I watched it earlier by myself, I told you guys this. There were many emotional moments in the episode that choked me up, that kind of brought me to a little bit of tears. But the most emotional moment to me that induced the most tears was just looking at the screen, seeing the show, and looking around at the context in which I was watching it, seeing space out this window, seeing the star map, like, you know, like when you're in an airplane, you're seeing your route that's over here. It's surreal.
The comms panel where you can talk to your droid.
It's so great.
Unbelievable. So anyway, great episode. I have a lot of notes, but they're on the phone over there filming this, so I can't even reference them. So hopefully I can remember.
No
some.
Notes.
Okay.
But
what did I just watch?
The one thing I will say, we were all in agreement. Everyone who watches has to be in agreement. There's no way this show's getting wrapped up in one more episode. No. We're getting another season.
Yeah.
Well,
more than that.
No, I think it's...
it's done?
I think it's
That's
done.
That's it?
Yeah. Yeah, somehow Thrawn returned.
Thrawn's just gonna come back and go, "Hi."
At least we got to see Ezra do a force push. One time.
Yeah, Street Fighter. Yeah,
Thrawn comes back and he's like, "Actually, I'm stumped, guys. I don't know how to beat the Jedi."
Congratulations, I'm back.
First thing I noticed that it doesn't matter, but I just loved it. Carson Teva in street clothes.
Yeah. He looked like he could be on the ship right now. Like, he looked like just one of us.
Every time he appears, it's like a shake your fist. Like, yes, he gets more screen time.
Yeah.
You know, every time. Every time he shows up.
Paul Sung-Yoon Lee, friend of the pod, clearly. Every time he's on, I'm with you. It's like, and it couldn't happen to a better guy to keep getting bigger roles in this.
He's like in now.
Yeah.
He's in it.
Yeah. Give him the X-Wing movie.
Yeah.
Give it to him.
And then we get the return of, from what I saw on Instagram, Anthony Daniels, not only as the voice of C-3PO, but I'm pretty sure he was in the suit.
Amazing.
The photo I saw.
Intense. So, that is intense.
So what is cool for me, sitting literally right here watching it on this TV, is we have the subtitles on, and right before you see him, the subtitle said, "Droid, colon, how rude." And I was like, that's funny. And then he came out. And then
one
that
droid
preceded him.
Yeah.
But it said, it didn't say 3PO, colon, how rude.
Sure,
it said droid. And
droid.
I was like, that's funny. Yeah. And then he just shows up.
Important stuff, guys. The Google Chrome cast is still loading.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Great stuff.
That's happening for the rest of our voyage.
Did you catch the thing he was saying as he was coming in with I guess security at the door? He was like, "You don't need to see my identification."
Did you catch that?
That was good stuff.
Yeah. And Chopper's response.
Chopper's, take this from a droid. Chopper.
Dude, he dropped an F-bomb for sure.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That's what he said.
Yeah.
That is what he said.
A mere droid.
He's like, what did he call him?
Let me at him.
But, and then, of course, like, not just a mention, but like a direct reference to Leia Organa and her having approved approved nonetheless the mission with Hera and like bailed her out and brought the file. Did anyone else kind of think for a second maybe we would get a hollow.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. I did.
Yep.
Like maybe like we'd see it from behind. We wouldn't maybe see the full face, whatever.
Yeah.
Either way, it was emotional. I was super into that. And what next? I don't have my notes, obviously.
I mean, I think that was it. Let's talk about that scene more. I mean, it was court, basically, right? And Harrow was in trouble. And Ziono is just, I mean, we knew he wasn't a good guy, but he was being the worst guy.
Objecting left and right. Yeah. Like, does he know how objections work in court? Well, it seems like he was just throwing that around.
Like, I don't know where it's going or if it matters, but doesn't it seem like he has an agenda actually for, I don't think he's just like, I'm a bad dude and I'm alone in it. Yeah. I think he has an agenda, like he's under the table with Gideon.
Yeah, I think it's like good writing. It's good writing to have someone, a senator or whoever in the New Republic to already be turned or have, you know, been an imperial loyalist the whole time or whatever that is.
Questionable motives,
It's someone has to play that role, and clearly it's turning out to be him.
Another one of those great characters that when he talks, you just get mad.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, this guy sucks. Yeah, his
parents. How don't you feel bad for Mon Mothma?
Yeah.
She's got to deal with Perrin. Right. And now this guy?
Right.
Like, oh my God.
These men. God. Yeah.
The men suck. Every man surrounding her life sucks.
It's true. Besides Carson Teva.
Carson Teva, and
he's tight.
Well.
And Chopper.
Yeah, back in the day, she had old Jimmy Smits on her side.
Yeah, but, true. Bail. Yeah. Bail are gonna rest in peace.
Yeah.
Well, so then we're off to the graveyard. With Ahsoka and Huyan like getting attacked,
bombarded, the Pergil bombarded. Well, they set a trap, they set a minefield.
Wait, before that, brutal. Actually, no, before that, we had a scene before that. She was training. With Master.
This is what happens when you do this live with no notes because they're on the phone.
I got you.
Thank you.
That is the camera.
That's nice.
Yes, dude.
Training,
beautiful
with Anakin's holo recording that he left for her. Very, very reminiscent of the Tales of the Jedi episode.
Yep.
Preparing her for, well, you know, what would be the Order 66 thing with Rex. And he mentioned, or she mentioned, that there were 20 other recordings or
more than 20.
More than 20.
Yeah.
But that was the last one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And dude, the de-aging, especially with the holo on it.
Yeah, it's so good.
Like, you just don't even flinch anymore. It's so good.
So there's 19 other recordings. I feel like,
I mean, she said more than 20.
It's worth a miniseries, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If they're gonna close down this thing, take the money from this, we're ready for it.
Yeah. Just an Anakin Hollow series.
Each one is about a minute long.
Yeah, it's like those movies that got made in the pandemic that were all on a computer, like through Facebook and stuff when people are missing. Yeah.
Dude, way back when this series started, and I was talking about how, interestingly, Ahsoka wasn't fighting with her kind of classic backhanded lightsaber style. She was in the training. Both of her arms were backhand. Mm-hmm. But then later in the episode when she fights Baylan again, she's back to normal. You know, I don't know what the word would be. Normal isn't the word, but
standard.
Holding the sabers, not backhand. Mm-hmm. She, mostly in that fight, I noticed she was. But in the training, she was like, both hands. She was doing all this sick, like, I'm stabbing you this way. I'm stabbing you this way, and they were all backhand.
It hurts. Yeah.
So I'm never going to be an expert on that. But whatever her whole like lightsaber technique. And like what it used to be, what it is now, how she's training with it. It's kind of fascinating because it's all very different.
Yeah. I love it. She's got so many different styles and like, you know, she's a veteran. She's like she's an older Jedi. So she, just like Obi-Wan, when he faces off with Maul right before, you know, he kills Maul and, you know, actually kills him for real. She has the knowledge to, based on the situation, choose the style
like
and
who
the
she's fighting,
she needs. Right? Yeah. I love it.
In that scene, and I feel like it was cool when we were watching the Clone Wars flashbacks, you get these little, like, I don't know, I'll just call them little victories when it comes with, like, things that Anakin is saying that you only heard him, the animated version of him, said.
Yes.
Like, he literally said Asajj Ventress, and I'm just like, Hayden Christensen just said
Asajj Ventress.
Right.
Yeah.
So sick.
So sick.
Dooku. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, but that stuff's great. Like, there was a lot of stuff in this episode that is, you know, just adds to the pile of stuff that I hope non-animation fans are hearing that help them understand. Little bits of, like, of exposition sprinkled throughout the whole thing. Mm-hmm. We need to have somebody on here who's a big fan who who has never watched animation to kind of get the, their take at the end of this whole thing. Because I don't know, I think Dave is doing well with the writing. Maybe we're biased. I mean, we obviously are, but
we're incredibly biased. Good. You know, like I feel like in our own way, we've been rightfully maybe critical of like Mando or Obi-Wan or like some of that writing. This doesn't seem like at all on any, it seems above all of that.
Yeah, my criticism, I would have to say, of this show is nothing.
I do actually think it's different. I said this probably, but it's as perfect as Andor is in a different category. Yes. You know, this is the magical, mystical, fun Star Wars. It's not fun, you know, like it's not goofy by any means, but it's as perfect as Andor is.
How fascinating is that? That, you know, in the post original trilogy world, the two things that have sort of universally been the most loved,
accepted, yeah, sure,
and have been animation, Clone Wars, Rebels,
right,
and Rogue One, and the creators of those two things have now made shows, and both of them, you know, I don't know what the numbers are for like viewership.
Ahsoka is doing very well,
but
no, it actually is.
But just it's from like a person who is pretty in, you know, tuned in to like what's going on in film and television, and follows like the critic and fan reviews of things, Andor and Ahsoka are like the highest rated things in the post original trilogy era.
Yeah.
So like since 1983.
Yeah.
They're the highest rated, you know, most well on both critic and fan side. Of anything.
Well, it's like
anything
on Andor, you get prestige drama that puts that show on a whole other level. So the critics are just going to lose their minds over it.
But so did the fans. That's what I'm saying. It's, it's like both.
So, but the viewership, like look the viewership at the critic. On Andor was low though. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like interesting that they tried to go, here's a quote unquote adult style Star Wars show with prestige, really strong writing, deep, dark themes, right? Without any lightsabers. That was the thing, right? And they were like, let's test the audience, see if Star Wars means lightsabers. In this show, everybody got a lightsaber.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what I was going to say. This is satisfying that other part, like the swashbuckling, like old school lightsabers.
I could never.
Oprah thrown out lightsabers.
I could never picture a Rancor in Andor.
Right, yeah.
But this show, I'm like expecting Ahsoka to be riding a Rancor.
Yeah.
But it's also serious. Like it's not a drama like Andor, but I would still say this is a drama. Right. You know, like it's there's just laser swords, which is fun.
I think we're biased.
That's a fact.
Mm. As long as we still get Andor season 2, I don't care if I'm the only person that watches it.
After this episode, how do we not get season 2?
No, of Andor. He said.
Yes.
Yes.
Totally. Ezra got a lot of screen time in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
That was his blue eyes just beaming through the TV at everyone.
Yeah. Let's also debunk the myth that popped up from last week that people were like, his chainmail armor? I think it's Stormtrooper dog tags. I was like, yo, that's completely out of character for him to collect.
Yeah.
Like he stole things to steal them, but he didn't like murder people and like take a part of them.
No.
It's very weird, right? So when that theory went around, a couple of people asked me through the Armor Party channel. And so I went right to the costume team. I was like, can I just ask a question? They're like, I've never heard that before. I was like, thank you very much.
I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
That was weird. So it's apparently it was his armor was something that he had learned from the Na'vi tribe.
Yeah.
And
I mean the Ewoks.
God, there was so much good Ewok stuff in this episode, man.
Yeah. So,
you know what they're reminding me of, too? If I don't know when the last time you watched District 9 is, but in District 9, when the prawns start wearing clothes, I'm like, that's totally in my head every time they're wearing their little, like,
but very like that first scene where they start coming over the planes in the little cars.
Yeah.
I was like, this looks like. This like is an episode one complete.
Dude, yes, like, it was like
it might have been the motion smoothing.
It was a cool version of, you know, Gungans or battle droids or whatever. Ewoks. In hindsight, I liked it when I was 3 and 6 years old. Yeah, but now it's like, come on, man, right? But I love the Ewoks because of how much I loved them when I was a child, but this is starting to figure out how to make me as a grown ass man, like think the little kid parts of this show are cool.
We had actual children in here watching, like Sarah and all their kids.
Yeah. And they were stoked.
When the one Lil Naughty threw the pot or something, like they laughed, yes. You know, like, yeah. There you go. There yeah. you
knocked
go.
Out a but, raider.
But like we also laughed. And yes. We, were stoked. Yeah.
We weren't sitting there going like, oh, here's the part for the kids.
Yeah.
Like this is, you know, this is a just, I don't know, a felony like worship thing to sure, say. Sure. But dude, the guy, look what he's doing.
The formula is there.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Dude, yeah. And the translation like of his own material to live action, the Ezra writing, the Ezra portrayal Ezra. Is so spot on.
My goodness.
On. Yeah. The humor, like the lightheartedness, like the, well, I don't know, we'll figure it out.
Kind I mean, of talk like, about but, casting. I know we said yeah. it last week when we saw him for 1 minute, but man. Casting, I don't know, like, I'm sure it's Filoni, but I'm sure there's also a casting director or something, sure. You know, yeah. And it's like, man, I'll probably say it next week too, and if we do a wrap-up, I'll say it again, but Sabine and Ezra, I mean, couldn't be more perfect. Mm-hmm. Plus, you get this, like, original trilogy, who's Carrie Fisher, who's Mark Hamill, you mm-hmm. get, they're kind of unknowns, you yeah. know, so you get this, like, fresh face, it's not like... Brad Pitt's in this, you know, mm-hmm. like, yeah. Like where you have that in like Mandalorian, it's like, oh, Tim Meadows is in this way, you know, yeah. It's like,
these yeah, are Diego Luna in Andor. Yeah, I mean,
exactly. You know, like you have these kind of unknowns that they're making. How do you not have, they're both young, they're both in their 20s, like Iman Esfandi and Natasha are both in their 20s. Right. Like, how do you not think that this is actually the future of Star Wars now? Yeah. You know, yeah. like Daisy Ridley's yeah. probably in her early 30s.
Right.
Like, Grogu's the oldest one, he's 55. Right.
Yeah. Do you think he's around for more gigs? He's going to get side gigs?
I don't know. Anywhere? Grogu. Yeah.
He's going to start doing Netflix movies.
I heard
and
he's
stuff.
Doing the next Paul Thomas Anderson film.
All right. Wait, let's talk about. Let's talk about Ezra for a second. Like, I'm good. I don't need a lightsaber anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What? Dude, okay.
The one thing I so had to cool. exclaim on was when he blocked the one and you could see, like, the wave in the saber as he was pulling it.
From right. two hands.
Yeah.
Sickest thing mm-hmm. I've seen. Like,
the sound.
Since Kylo Ren stopping the blaster bolt
in Force yes. Awakens.
That's
yeah.
the coolest thing I've seen.
Okay, but we had to watch it on this TV with no sound.
Yeah.
There were certain pieces of the score that I'm now used to having like a low end
mm-hmm.
element
yeah, yeah.
gone. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's what that sounds like if you only heard, you know, just
high
like
end or a tin
the
can.
Violin or yeah. the whatever
did Rey
part.
Do but, that in Rise of Skywalker, right?
Yeah.
I don't but, remember the blade bending as much as it did here, but I think there was a little bit of like.
Maybe
distortion to Kylo. Yeah. I'm pretty yeah. sure she did that yes, in The Rise of Skywalker when they're on the Death Star.
Wherever Rey and Kylo Ren were fighting yeah. and she did that. Held the yeah, saber yeah, back, yeah. it moved the saber mm-hmm. backwards. Like
yeah.
it pushed like
not
light
as much
particles.
As this, though. This looked yeah. a little
well, this, it was this like just looked cool because it was two
yeah,
hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the sound design, though, I will say, on this little TV that in had captions. No low end, it that... piece was like intent, like they ramped it up. Mm. Like that moment of holding that saber back was so deliberate, so intense.
You know what's, I keep thinking this, and I don't know if we've made this point. I know I repeat a lot of points, but whatever. You mentioned like Filoni transitioning from animation to live action. These are all Rebels episodes. This could be animated, yes, you yeah, know, like 100%. There's actually no difference. It's just live action, right. Like his directing style and the way the camera, you know, all of it. These all could be animated frame for frame. I feel like,
yeah, even with the other directors, it's so there's so much continuity.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like the idea that in Rebels, when Ahsoka was in an episode, she would kind of just pop in and out of the episode. Mm-hmm. Like this show is called Ahsoka. And she kind of just pops in and out of the episodes.
Yeah.
It's right. not like we're just living with Ahsoka for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So much stuff happened in this episode
right.
that she wasn't involved in whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that was kind of her role in Rebels. She would just show
yeah.
up and then...
Yeah, Fulcrum was there.
You know, you're
be.
Good.
And think about the stories that we're getting. Like Hera's still in the main galaxy dealing with that. Ahsoka, obviously... just going to find Sabine and Ezra. Sabine and Ezra are on Peridia. Thrawn, Night Sisters.
Mm.
what is Baylan doing? Like, oh my goodness, what is Baylan up to? Like, that is actually my biggest question. Yeah, at like this point.
I think to wrap it up is what's with Baylan, and then the Ahsoka's, you know, wasting her most valuable asset, or however he worded it, time. Mm-hmm. And they show those freaking coffins stacking up on that Star Destroyer.
So a couple things there. One, that's like adding to the, you know, what Filoni's doing for the general audience to explain, to show just how like, Thrawn's expertise as a tactician, you know what I mean? Like,
even if we lose, we win.
Exactly. You know,
dude, he was, and he's explaining how calm he is, which we've come to know his, like, you know, he'd be like, yes, the building is falling apart, but we've prepared life pods underneath. You know what I mean? Just like, he's ahead of everything, right?
Yeah.
This episode, one of those things where you're sitting there being like, dang, it finally looks like Ahsoka's getting the upper hand.
He's like, oh, I'm good.
10 steps ahead still.
Actually, let me tell you this shit right here.
She can try.
So there's that. And then, and just seeing, like you said, those icons, it just hammers home, like, these aren't just pieces of cargo. There's something in those things, man.
You know?
Like, yeah.
Man, there's but just...
Baylan's letting Shin go.
Right.
Literally saying, she said, you're not going to help.
Yeah.
And he said, my path is different.
Mm-hmm. Or, yeah, like,
you know, whatever that the direct quote was. He was like, you go. I'm literally out.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Take your place in the Rising Empire or whatever.
Yeah, he said the coming empire.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's not interested in the coming empire. So what, dude?
Okay, so what's the thing that we read the other day? Like the mother, right?
Yeah, so in Legends, you have kind of this evolution of like what would have been like the Mortis arc, right? But like we knew in Clone Wars, you had the father and you had the daughter and the son, right? The mother is, I believe, a human, according to in the EU story, basically gets fully consumed by the dark side, ends up becoming super powerful, gets banished to almost like an off-world tomb. Is she alive? Does her power exist? All of these things. Her name is Avaloth. It's a
Legends.
Though. It's Legends. It's like, and her like depiction is like super gnarly. She's,
was it a book or what was it?
It's a book.
Like
and,
a novel, yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, her depiction is, like, incredibly creepy. It's almost like this, like, all white. She's got huge teeth. It's very un-Star Wars in the modern. It would be very difficult to imagine that Legends depiction as in current Star Wars. But the theory of it is that there's no mother with a father and children, but there has to be at some point if that's the way that we believe the delineation
for the balance
will work,
and,
right?
Yeah.
So the idea that tapping into the fact that the Mortis gods are gone, right? If Ahsoka is the daughter, is this the mother coming back? Is this Baylan trying to unlock that, you know, that part?
To take their place,
essentially,
in a way,
right?
Yeah.
And then we also have at the same time, like, the thanks to the sleuths on the internet, going into Zepho stuff, going into, like, we saw a lot of that stuff. And you have dark side Zepho that, you know, were almost in some ways connected to the Force in the same way that the Night Sisters were. There's a lot of stuff out there that's all seemingly in play. Filoni does love to, like, make his... He does love to take what he likes from Legends or from the EU and bring it in his own way of... There's some weird stuff out
there. Well, Zepho are canon through...
Fallen Order.
Jedi Fallen Order, and then the Bad Batch, right? There was the one-off episode where they went, there was that giant, in season two, that giant, like, walking long
and I don't
thing.
Know, I don't know, they kind of refer to it as, like, an ancient, like, this ancient technology, but I don't think they straight up called it Zepho. Did they? I don't think they did. I think we all said Zepho because of that triangular head, and it said it was an ancient technology.
Yeah. I mean,
it's all
Bad Batch
play.
Is a Filoni brainchild as well.
Right.
We're seeing the Zepho writing, like, he's doing the thing where he's, you know, kind of leaving the breadcrumbs, and then it's gonna rise to the surface at some point.
All next episode, because there's only one season.
That's it. It's a mini series.
Yeah. Hope you liked it. Play the video game.
Yeah. what else? God, I had a bunch of notes.
Oh, the fight was awesome.
Yeah.
Which one? There's three at once.
Yeah, well, Howler hiding, I mean, waiting for the fight to be over. That's great. Nice little comedic relief.
Yeah.
There was some killer, you know, classic core original trilogy Star Wars going on with the multiple battles. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, happening at the same time. But I just think...
Oh, we didn't mention. Last thing on the Baylan and Shin dynamic. When Shin was left there alone at a loss, she had been beaten essentially, and Ahsoka says, "I can help you." Mm-hmm. And then she just bails.
She's got a turn. Everyone knows it.
And then also, did Ahsoka beat Baylan, right? Like, she had the blade at his neck, like he was defeated, but she didn't follow
through,
right?
She said something very literal, like, "I don't have to defeat you," or something like that.
"I don't have to kill you."
"I don't have to kill you." Yeah.
But then he said, he first said, "You can't defeat me." And it was very Obi-Wan, like, if you strike me down, I'll be more powerful, et cetera. So, like,
she should have called bluff on that.
But the lesson she learned from Live or Die in The World Between Worlds taught her that she doesn't need to kill.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because we saw her in that same moment in The World Between Worlds. We saw her just straight murdering Mandalorians, you know, just no.
She goes, I don't need to kill you because I need you to be in season two.
Yeah. And then we saw the hate in her eyes at the end with Anakin. So, like, she's a very different person now than she was just, you know, weeks ago in her timeline.
Just the RIP to Rey, man, because clearly his story was
meant to be continued.
Is meant to be, you know, a big deal.
Yeah, I can't see them. I know I asked this. I ask it off camera, and I asked it.
Dude, no, they have
like
that,
it has to be like recast.
They
you
have
know?
To
like,
recast it.
I'm
it
fully in recast mode.
It's not
AI.
It's not
face
out of
replacement.
The question. It happens in this type of situation. You know, it happens. Like for example, Peaky Blinders is, you know, my show on Netflix, and Helen McCrory had cancer and passed, and it was like known that she was going to pass, and they had to write it into the show. This was, from what I can gather, a little less expected.
Oh, 100%. Out of nowhere, yeah.
And so I think when you're in a situation like this where the story is ongoing and the character is so loved.
Oh my goodness.
So quickly.
Good.
Yeah.
So good.
That the you know, his family, you know, everyone in the community will want to choose the right person to carry this story on, and it will be acceptable. It will be celebrated, and whoever's playing the role that will have, in a good way, this carry this extra weight of I am paying tribute.
With a great blueprint.
I'm carrying
of
on
what to
the,
do
the,
for
the legacy of what he started for this character. So I think it's evident. Dude, he's a big deal in Dave's mind.
Yeah.
Like in Dave's version of Star Wars that he's creating right now, that he's building, this character was really important for him to write.
The leading fan cast right now is, what's his name?
Liev Schreiber,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
I just watched, this is not for a Star Wars podcast, but I just watched A Small Light on Disney Plus. It's a National Geographic show, but you get Nat Geo on Disney Plus.
In the US, yeah.
It's an 8-episode miniseries told from the perspective of Meep. I can't remember her last name, but she was sort of the person that led the charge on hiding the Frank family in Amsterdam.
Oh, wow.
So you're watching the Anne Frank story, but not told from Anne Frank's perspective. It's amazing. It's 100% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Huh. It's amazing. But Liev Schreiber plays Otto Frank. Today, when we were talking about casting and someone said that, I didn't really get that involved in the conversation, honestly, because I got kind of emotional.
That was today?
Yeah.
Talked about that today?
We talked about it today. I got a little emotional because I had just watched him do this performance of freaking Otto Frank, and it was like wild. I mean, intense, heavy, you know? And whoever was like, it should be Liev Schreiber. I was like, God, I have this sadness looming over me because of his performance of Otto Frank, but also, yes, that's absolutely who should pick up
Baylan Skoll.
Mm-hmm. Baylan Skoll and carry on this story. Yeah. He would crush.
Yeah. It'd be awesome.
And I'm sure there's some cool twist that can be written about like why his appearance is different or something.
Sure.
Like they did in The Matrix when they had to recast
The Oracle.
The Oracle, yeah. Yeah. That was one of the most genius moves ever.
Masks, you know?
It like, was, but...
He could have a mask.
It no, was, like, but honestly...
A Kylo Vader scenario.
Oh, yeah, like a helmet, yeah.
Yeah, but I think, honestly, in this scenario, I think that... No, I think it could just happen. Episode 1, Season 2, there he is.
It's fine, yeah.
We all no one all is going to ask why or how. No, yeah. No one.
Yeah.
Even trolls aren't going to ask. Right. You know,
they went through it with Harry Potter.
Yeah,
right. You know,
yeah, like, dude, that was the smoothest thing ever, and there was no, you know, that's what will happen here.
If Dumbledore's,
if they carry on the story, which
they should,
they should.
Yeah,
we can't speculate that they will, but
it seems like
I think it will be exactly what I wasn't even thinking about Harry Potter. It will be exactly like that.
Yeah, nobody flinched. Like, yeah, you go. Well, oh, okay.
The story is what matters. And man, like it's somehow overshadowing almost every other storyline in this.
Yeah, I'm
like,
so Baylan
Skoll is my dude right
also,
now.
Also, so this show is, the show is crushing, right? Yeah. Like people are watching
really
it, right?
Yeah, it's doing really well.
Okay, so I was watching it sitting where you're sitting now. And I had a thought like, okay, we're going to podcast later. I really want to remember to say this. This show that we're watching about characters from an animated series.
Right.
I just asked, it's really crushing, huh? Because what I like about doing this podcast is I learn, you guys tell me stuff and I learn it. So it's crushing, right? And you're like, yes, I've done the research and yes, it is. It's crushing. This show is crushing. I just learned that. Okay. All I want to say is how freaking cool is storytelling.
Yeah. You're going to say Star Wars and I was going to go, It really is.
Yeah.
How really cool is storytelling that we are in the midst of this series that is apparently being watched by all. And how? Like, like your casual Star Wars fan that likes, saw A New Hope one time. This isn't their thing, but they're all, everyone is watching it. Mm-hmm. Because the story is so good.
Just good characters.
Yeah. It's so good
characters,
dude.
Good story. Yeah. All right.
Hello there.
New Hope Workshop, Jason's also here.
And he probably wants to go to bed really bad.
I think we did it. We did this show. We did it live.
Yeah, we did it. It was
favorite
great.
Part. I love you, I know.
We did. Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Let's see. What do we love?
Hey everyone, we want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad, all-over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
I love you.
I know.
We'll go in order physically.
All right,
Ranky.
I'm Ahsoka Anakin. I mean, the training video.
Yeah, amazing.
It was. Well, okay. I'll narrow it down in case you guys want to choose another part.
Oh, okay.
The, like, martial arts, bow. At the end, she knows it's not him. It's we now know, that's a recorded. Because when he first came on, you were like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Is he force ghosting here right at the beginning of the episode? Right. Too much. You know, she then acknowledges it's a recording, but she still shows that sign of respect and ritual by closing her eyes and nodding, bowing, whatever you want to call it. to the recording of her master. So I'm going to go with that moment, just the bow. That
was a great master, she says.
I think it's just great, too, that she's training again. Yeah. You know, like she's that's amazing.
Reignited.
Yeah, because we're going somewhere and it's not just next week.
No.
Mike.
I'm always kind of down to see new interpretations of the Force and how it's wielded, right? So I think seeing Ezra, like, I think we all wanted to see Ezra grab his green lightsaber and just have that moment where you were like seeing what it's Iman. Like how he would have channeled Ezra Bridger in, you know what I mean? Like I just wanted to see it, right? And we've obviously been quite high on lightsabers today. Video coming. but I think just anytime we see that interpretation of like what the Force can do and how Force wielders can use it is rad. The fact that he straight up was like, no, I'm good. I don't need a lightsaber. I was like,
I gave it to you.
Yeah. Right. Like what is happening?
It's yours now.
And maybe, I know we kind of glossed, we didn't talk about this, but like, I think that's all confirmation that like Sabine is Force sensitive.
I mean,
confirmation.
Yeah. Luke and Leia moment. Right. The Empire Strikes Back. Right. Like you called out while we were watching. Right. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean,
I did, right? I don't remember that really. Yeah. Now that you're telling me, I just out loud, I went, oh, Luke and Leia. Yeah. I was like melting. Yeah.
But what about the wiretap from that one night? The one mother.
Oh, yes.
The night sister. Like,
dude.
Dude, also, there was like, was it the night sister or was it Sabine or Ahsoka? They did the vertigo shot. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where they zoom as they're dollying back, you know, so the background, it's just great filmmaking.
Yeah.
That was like, I think leaning into, maybe, I don't know, is Filoni, was this something he was thinking when he did that? But just that idea that, you know, everyone is force sensitive. So, you know, like
to some degree.
And also if he is looking back on like, retconning certain situations. Well, how did they do that without that concept that you can like hang up the phone on the Force? Mm-hmm. You can disconnect. And you know, well, how did, because there's lots of that like OT,
Obi-Wan did
the
it.
OT stuff Obi-Wan of like, did how did it, Vader not know that Leia was right there and all those kind of questions you have. If you're not tapped into the line,
not plugged into the Matrix,
then you don't know, right? So as soon as they connected, the mother was like, oh, there they are.
Yep.
And I want to think that was a conscious decision in the writing and direction to say, like, let's keep reinforcing the idea that if you're not connected to the Force directly, you can avoid detection.
Right.
Right. I love that.
Baylan saying at the very beginning of the episode, at the very beginning of the season, like, I can't tell where she is in the Force. Remember, he was like, can you locate her? And he's like, her presence is like a mystery. Like he knows she's out there. He can feel her.
Yeah. Cause she's not tapping in.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's right. So anyways, I would say Street Fighter.
That was great.
Yep.
Carrie in the YouTube says that she was thinking, Rey and Kylo connection. Their Force time. I'll tell you what I hate. Can I start with something that I hate? I hated the Purgles going through the minefield. Oh, that made me so sad.
Yeah. So sad.
I'm like decided today I'm getting a Purgle tattoo. Like I want to be a Purgle.
Okay.
Jason's wearing a Purgle shirt right now.
Yeah.
I like that they were just like, we're out.
Yeah.
Ouch, ouch, we're out here.
And by the way,
stepped on a bunch of pins. I guarantee
you will never know the answer to what I'm about to ask. We just won't. They won't go this far, but where did they go? Because they went straight. They didn't turn around and go back.
True.
Where did they go?
I mean, are they now stranded?
I don't know. I don't know. But they turned on their hyperspace shit and they're out of there.
Everyone on the planet. They stranded everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah,
they stranded the rebel crew. Oh,
they went deep into the galaxy. Yeah, yeah.
Literally the only way to get back is the Eye of Zion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Boy.
So Nick,
that's good. That's good writing. That's great writing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a little tension.
Favorite part, I think, seeing Ezra. I think I really like he's at peace. Like I don't think he's a peaceful person, and that's why, like, necessarily, like I don't think that's why he didn't want to use the lightsaber. I do think there's probably some sort of like Jedi cultural thing. Like, I gave you that lightsaber. Like, right. It's yours now.
I mean,
now.
The darksaber, it's yeah. Like,
but
whoever
I think
wields
he
it
also kind of, seems you know? Really at peace with where he's at. Yeah, I right. think he knows that his in his head, the ending of the conflict on Lothal, he did the right thing. It worked. I'm at peace with my decision. I did what I had to do. Yeah. To. Right. So I think yeah, he's carrying that.
He is. He's like, yeah, Thrawn's here too, yeah. But whatever, man. Whatever, man. You guys are safe, so yeah. Right on, bro.
So seeing
can't
him
wait to go home.
In action, whether it was a lightsaber or not, I just liked seeing him still have that connection to the Force and seeing him fight side by side with Sabine and then a good... I mean, we saw actually just as much of an emotional, like, I mean, a hug, basically, with between last episode with Sabine and Ezra, but we saw... I almost felt better... It was almost more joyous seeing Ahsoka and Ezra.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, and I gotta say, dude, yeah. Rosario, the kind of laugh that she gave.
Yes.
Yeah. It was really special.
Yeah.
It was a really interesting choice as an actor to laugh in that moment. And she really owned and executed the choice extremely well.
Yeah.
You guys ready for, like, 7 cliffhangers next episode? Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, my God.
I don't think we're even going to get back to our galaxy far, far away. I think we're still going to be where we are now, and the cliffhanger is when.
I think we're coming back.
Next week you do?
Not our crew. I don't think our crew is
coming back. I think Thrawn is coming back.
Oh, but I don't think we'll see him get there.
Oh, I see.
Okay. I think like the general idea will be,
but
we're still stuck here. What happens next?
But how sick/dark would it be that we ended this episode with Ezra talking about how he has like a good feeling about getting home or whatever? Immediately, I picture Lothal in my head, all nice and shiny, new since the Empire got booted out, 30 years ago. Imagine Thrawn going directly back to Lothal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like how
he's got in his GPS, Peridia to Lothal.
Yeah, recent searches,
firebomb,
recent routes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone ever clarified, where his jurisdiction was, right? As an admiral, like where his fleet was supposed to operate, but it's wherever Lothal is.
Yeah,
that's where they were.
Yeah,
so he's heading there.
My favorite is it's kind of like a combination of. The multiple scenes that you guys are referencing.
Cop out.
Ezra and Sabine, they're like banter and they're dynamic. That's yours. No, I gave it to you. The back and forth there. It was even in that scene where he was, what was it? He was, all the stormtroopers show up and he's like, maybe we do this or we, trying to like banter his way through
take
the situation.
Take us prisoner.
It was so Rebels.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So all of that was, I guess that's one scene, right? Yeah. Ultimately, that was my favorite because it was so like beat for beat, spot on Rebels, so well depicted. And it looked and felt cool. And I feel like it was something that, if done wrong, would not land with non-Star Wars fans.
Sure.
But I think they nailed it. I would assume that even... non-Rebels fans. I would assume that even non-Rebels fans thought it was pretty tight.
Yeah.
I think people are understanding the character, I would assume.
Yep.
Yeah.
Love but it's like a whole different podcast to talk about, but how? Like, how is this so popular? How is Ezra Bridger?
Lightsabers. It's the lightsabers.
That's a big part. I think that's legitimately a big part.
I agree.
I agree, but like, I just have to think so many people have no idea who Ezra Bridger is.
100%.
So many people. So how are they?
It's an interesting thing
I'm
about
pumped.
Star Wars.
I'm pumped. Like, I love it. It's amazing.
I forget who I was talking to yesterday.
How are they doing it?
But Star Wars is a very interesting thing because of how much weight we put on what we're watching as really filling in a lot of the emotional, not gaps because the emotions are still there, but... people like us and super fans, we like, how do you write a show being like the super fans are going to like kind of fill in the blanks?
The Maker guys are going to love this.
Yeah.
Okay, how do you write that? But that's what I'm
saying.
That's
crazy.
This show if it's performing as well as you say it is, nothing about this show. And we have talked about how, oh, they did a really good job of like introducing characters you don't know so that you can follow along. Mm-hmm. Did they? Yes. Yeah, they did. Yeah. They like, it's been like a slow burn to get to Ezra so you can have time to process. But like, if you're not one of us, you don't know who these people are. So why is this show so good?
Well, let's find somebody.
And so successful. Yeah.
Let's get them out of the pot.
Yeah, let's find somebody who hasn't watched any animation.
But has watched this show, every episode of this show.
And is a big fan of all live action and see if we can get their take.
I agree.
It's like a wrap up.
Because it's fascinating to me.
I love that.
Because they are doing the right things to help the exposition if you don't know Rebels or Clone Wars, so you can watch the show. They are. They're doing the right stuff.
Yeah.
But that doesn't translate to it being like the best performing live action Star Wars show of all the shows so far.
Right.
It's crazy.
Either way, I'm happy.
I mean, ship go fast. People love that. Ship go fast. Lightsaber go pzzz. People love that.
You know what?
Simple formula.
Before we go, can we just love Ashley Eckstein for doing what she did to create this character?
Yeah, 100%.
That's legend.
The show is crushing, dude, and she built this thing.
Yeah.
100%.
Massive part.
Yeah, she endured all the hate in the early days and helped create one of the most beloved characters in all Star Wars.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to cry.
Yeah. And you're going to cry a lot in a couple hours, because it's actually Saturday, which means, well, no, it's actually Wednesday, but I think about it on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing when I
you're on drugs.
Delirious. We're going to cry a lot. For people who don't know that the Star Cruiser is closing, we are on the second voyage, second to last voyage, which means that there's a day off in between voyages, I think, which means that at the end of the week, this thing will be done. The lights are going off. No one's sleeping in the beds anymore.
People are losing their jobs.
People are losing their jobs. And tonight, we've all been on, we're on the second voyage, which is poetic, yes. The actors talked to each other tonight in a way that I was sitting there being like, this is not part of the story. They're talking to each other. And there's this really powerful moment. Unfortunately, if you haven't gone, you're not going to be able to experience it. But the First Order comes onto the ship. The First Order does something cruel that makes everyone in the crowd very upset. And they have Smuggler, Wraith Cole, Lenka Mok, who's the ship director. They have this moment where they kind of ask the crowd, they said, listen, don't be upset of what happened to our droid, right? They said, don't be upset because we have each other and we'll be able to know that together, the theme of this voyage, of course, of all the voyages, together is one, right? They said, we'll have each other. And we know that through our bond and through being able to work together, we can do anything. And I remember looking at them and I was like, this is, it's on script, but what they're saying is not about the story anymore. I was like, it's about this project. And a huge shout out to the cast of, a couple of them listen to the podcast, and we're very grateful for that, because this podcast also wouldn't be what it is without this project. And
100%.
That blows my mind, right? But like, the cast has done an incredible job hiding their own emotions, but I've seen them almost all crack tonight in those little moments. And from, I think, a special thank you as we sit in this room as before it's closed down, to the cast, to all of the creatives that helped build this thing. We're still kind of in shock that it's closing. But I think about how rad Star Wars is. We just watched amazing Star Wars show. In Star Wars. You did it by yourself earlier, and we're about to go get more Star Wars tomorrow. I don't know, man. It's like I'm kind of having an out of body experience that we're going to go get crushed over the next 8 hours.
Well, I think too, like, last little thing for me, just to say, you know, it's one of the most surreal things to happen in my life in the last 3 years is that I've become friends with Ashley Eckstein, who is Ahsoka Tano.
Right.
She's Ahsoka lives in us. Yep. Is that is her. She created that. And she's become, you know, not just a name drop for me. She's a friend. Mm-hmm. She's someone who she bought something for my wife and I off of our baby registry, you know. Texted me to apologize that her and her husband couldn't come to our little party we invited them to for the baby shower. Like, you know, she's become a part of my life. And with this closing, like, I don't want this to come off as shade towards the live action thing that's happening, but I do want to say that if any of you listening to this have any question at all about Ashley and her devotion to this character and to Star Wars and to the fans of Star Wars and to the people who make Star Wars happen, because she could have said, you know what, middle fingers up.
Sure.
When she didn't get to be in the show.
Right.
She could have walked out and right. said, I'm out.
Right.
She personally had made and delivered, I don't think she baked it, but I'm saying she had it made, yeah. delivered a 4-foot long Halcyon cake was delivered this morning to the cast of the final voyages. Of the Halcyon. She had someone bring that here.
It had lights on it.
On her behalf.
It had lights in you know, the engine.
And like, that, to be someone as important as her in the Star Wars universe as an actor, to be that personally connected with people on the ground
right.
is mostly, I know there's other, Mark Hamill, there we right. can talk about other people, sure. But it's mostly unheard of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
so I just want to say we're here late at night after lots of cocktails so I can get a little emo.
Yeah.
We're talking about Ahsoka, this show.
It's
and
on brand.
Just Ashley, dude, we love you so much, man. It's just...
Happy belated birthday.
Happy belated birthday. And like your passion just for this, for the Star Cruiser, it's infectious and it's real. And
Yeah. Being back here, I mean, if we want to just keep giving thoughts about Star Cruiser for a minute, but like being back here, we haven't been in 14 months, something like that, mm-hmm. probably a year and a half. It's wild how perfect it is, and brain does not compute that it's closing, you know, and it's on like, you know, full on capitalism is why it's closing, you know, like it has nothing to do with the product. It has everything to do with money, and someone's yacht somewhere needs another yacht to be put in it.
We're gonna probably have Jason on the show to talk about his experience because he hasn't gone, mm-hmm. and so like he's saying like Jason, I'm speaking for you. He's waving.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep. But he's coming in like
he's like, will you shut up so we can go to bed?
Well, true. But like just seeing it from his perspective of being like, I'm intimidated because everyone keeps putting the weight of the Halcyon experience as like a top tier core Star Wars memory. Mm-hmm. This like dinky concept of like a live action thing, you know, and people are like, this thing will change your life. Right. Mm-hmm. And just like seeing him go through it and seeing other people who like somehow got in and got first time. I'm like vicariously also living through them of like, just seeing this experience again. But at the same time, I'm like doing different missions mm-hmm. and it's super fun getting to know those characters and the interpretations of the cast doing them. Like, yeah, I can't, it's late. I'm not going to get into it. We're going to get into it.
Brain no worky.
No, it's not that. It's we need to go to bed.
It's deep. Yeah. It's a deep conversation. Yeah.
Talking about the end of this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Off the back of the penultimate episode of
What do we do?
Maybe
how do we want to do this?
Maybe the best.
It's all the best.
Maybe
it's
the so best Star Wars ever made. Can I baby. Say that?
Best series, in my opinion.
Definitely best baby. Series, but kind of working its way up to the top of the thing. Mm. Dude, how many?
You're inviting hell into the comments.
Dude. How many comments, did you see?
Here it comes.
Were like, oh, new Star Wars ranking episode 5 Ahsoka number 1.
Yeah.
Over all other things. Yeah. I'm just saying that's out there.
Okay, so what are we going to do? We're going to wrap let's try to strategize for a brief second here. We're going to talk about Ahsoka next week as the finale. There's no way we cannot talk about the finale, right? So, are we going to do two episodes? Are we going to do the reaction and that, and then?
Yeah, we have to do a deep dive.
But we also have to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do we want to do that?
Well, we'll do that after.
Yeah, we'll
do it the week after.
We don't have something to watch the week after, so we'll get into this.
I know, but
we could spread this out over.
I know, but I feel like
we could also talk about it not live on.
It's true. We do have each other's. Like, we do have each other's numbers. I guess I could text you
as your information.
Yeah, I could text you about it. Yeah, I'll text you. I'll text you right after this is over. Yeah. All right, sounds good.
You don't have to text me. I'm sleeping. Okay, 3 feet from you.
I'll reach over and be like, yeah, I was thinking.
So what did we say we're doing next week?
Before you sign off, the camera can't see it, but I wish you could. Austin Romero, my dear friend.
Little cutie pie.
He's out.
He's tuckered. If you could just tuckered see out. His one still cosplayed glove.
He's asleep on the floor and he has one sticking out of his blanket. Glove.
It's just the one hand great. Out of the blanket.
It's great.
Cozy little cub.
And that's the Star Cruiser, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the experience. It'll knock you out.
All right. We're going to go to sleep for 4.5 hours. Tops. And then it's on, another full day and then another couple hours of
crying.
Sleep and then a lot of crying and then it's all over. So we'll talk about it in a couple weeks. We'll of course do 2 episodes next week on Ahsoka. We'll do our reaction, then we'll do our deep dive the next day. And MoshEisley.com, go get Mosh Eisley tickets. Somebody's going to be there who hasn't been there yet.
I'm going to Mosh Eisley, guys.
Yes, there you
sir. Tickets booked.
What? Mosh Eisley, New York.
Yeah.
October 14th. That's the weekend of...
May or may not get behind the computer. And
yeah, on the ones and twos.
Have some fun.
Spin a couple tracks.
Yeah, weekend of New York Comic Con. It's going to be a great time. MoshEisley.com. Merch bundles are unfortunately done, so if you missed that, you missed that.
Mm-hmm. Snoozed and lose.
But you can still get tickets. It's going to be a great party. We're going to have a great party the next few days. Truly sorry. No bullshit. This is not like a smart ass thing. I'm truly sorry to anyone who did manage to get on the Star Cruiser on one of these last voyages. It's like, it's such a bummer. Like, it's just, I'm going to cry if I keep talking about it. So
don't.
Everybody, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Thanks for everyone who's up awake right now. Who's in North America, people in the UK, like
Maddie Gunner.
It's your morning, whatever. Like, yeah, you don't get any special
props. Grabbing their flat whites and going to work, dude. Yeah.
Maddie Gunner's having a full English and some Earl Grey. It's great. All right. And until next week, Tabuite.
Tabuite.
If you enjoy Thank the Maker, you can support us by following and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Or you can support us directly at patreon.com/thankthemakerpod, where you can get access to our Discord server, exclusive content, exclusive merch, our recording live stream, and more. Our patrons quite literally make Thank the Maker possible.